Tyler, live events change lives. Just like when we gathered in October in Northern Virginia, Bell, a national 30 under 30 winner, walked in and said, I've been to all the conferences, all the trainings, all the events, but never in a room where people understood my heart and my work. And she said, my soul let out a sigh of relief. If that's something that you desire, then do not miss out. Our next upcoming conference in beautiful Greensboro, North Carolina, April 22nd to 23rd. Go to faithfulagent.com/conference and grab your tickets today. We will see you there. Too often people slide into doing good things through their business without actually changing themselves. The life of a faith-driven entrepreneur has to start with heart transformation and complete devotion to the gospel. An entrepreneur needs to be on guard about being willful versus faithful. But what's the difference? Here's an example. Looking to raise money at all costs rather than asking God to give or not give you exactly what you need when you need it. Or being set in your business plan because you're positive that it's what God wants you to do without actually praying in the first place. It can be hard to separate these two, especially when you think you're doing the right thing. But here's the litmus test. If you find yourself thinking, I want to do God's will, I just want to do it this way, you might be in trouble. Willful happens when you mistake your will as God's will. Faithful happens when you surrender your will to God's will. Another way to look at it is the difference between contending for the faith, what God has directed you to do, and striving. Contending means I bring all that I am in obedience to the Lord Jesus, but the outcomes are His. It's a position of dependency and entrusting the results, timing, and funding, etc. to Him. Striving is characterized by an internal pressure that I have to make this happen in my energy, in the timeline I believe is necessary, and in many cases by the means that I think is best. Contending is accompanied by peace and dependency. Striving is accompanied by anxiety and pressure. You choose. That comes from the Faithful Driven Entrepreneur website, their blog, Faithful versus Willful. Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Faithful Agent Podcast, where we encourage Christians in real estate to grow their business and their faith. I've got Henry Kestner. Did I pronounce that right, Henry?
I don't think anything close. A lot of people say Kestner, but if we're in Germany right now, they'd probably like your pronunciation better than mine.
Okay, well, we are. I am in Germany, as I mentioned to you earlier. So fantastic. I nailed it. We are honored to have him with us, the co-founder of the Faith-Driven Entrepreneur, which we have talked about on the show, which many of you know what that is. If you don't, go check it out, faithdrivenentrepreneur.org, which has been, as I was encouraging Henry, but has been a blessing to the Faithful Agent. A lot of you don't know. I look at them and what they do as a roadmap for a lot of things we're doing here at the Faithful Agent in the Lord's kindness. They went first, and we are honored to have Henry with us today to share his heart. But Henry, do a quick introduction of yourself, if you don't mind, brother, and then we'll dive into that topic. I would love your thoughts and opinions on what I read.
Yeah, Garrett, it's so good to be with you. I love the premise behind the Faithful Agent. I love, just as we were talking before we went live, about your commitment to the industry and to your family and to your community and where God's placed you. It's all just awesome. You know, as you're reading that open, words that got me, that jumped out at me, were complete devotion to the gospel. Gosh, I wish I could tell you with a straight face that I had complete devotion to the gospel. All too oftentimes, I have complete devotion to like whatever I want to do. And I'll pay lip service to complete devotion to the gospel. And I know that I need to be completely devoted to the gospel. And I'm so grateful that we've got a God that will forgive me. And in the midst of my unfaithfulness, in the midst of my sin. And yet I do know that I want to endeavor to be faithful versus willful, but it's this struggle that we have, right? I mean, you probably experienced this in your business. I surely do in mine, in my life. But as you read the complete devotion, fortunately for a faith-driven entrepreneur, it doesn't need to start with the complete devotion to the gospel. It can be an imperfect yet contending devotion to the gospel. And so when we do the second edition of the book or the website, wherever you got that from, I think we need to amend that a little bit, lest somebody be scared away like, oh my goodness, well, this podcast clearly isn't for me because I'm not as completely devoted to it as I need to be. But I think we all want to get there.
Mm. Man, I love that. I think the beauty of it too, because we talk all the time, you know, for our conferences, we start the conference, we end the conference with the gospel, right? Because that is the goal. That's the whole point of what we're trying to do. The reality for us is the beauty of the gospel is this is a complete devotion of a God who will never forsake his chosen people, right? He sends his son and he is the one that holds us fast. So even if we aren't completely devoted, which we can't be, right? Henry, let's be honest. Reality is this side of heaven, we will never have complete, utter devotion to him and him alone, unfortunately, because we're sinful people. But that strive, that desire, that's one of the things that has encouraged me that we hope to encourage others as I've learned more about what you guys are doing and read what you're doing, is it does lead with the gospel, right? At the end of the day, it is about the gospel for us. Our mission is the gospel. Our method is through real estate. And we believe, just like you all talk about often, as real estate agents, as people in the real estate space, we will get access to people and relationships that we would never otherwise have. And that is the Lord putting us in this mission field. So how do we intentionally go into this mission field? And I think a big part of it, which is why I read this, a big part of it is saying, contending is accompanied by peace and dependency. Striving is accompanied by anxiety and pressure. We don't want to go out and look like the world and be all anxious and under pressure and stressed out all the time, because that's not a biblical approach to building a business, right?
No, it's not. It's not. And yet it's this ongoing tension, and we have to be comfortable to some extent with the tension. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Early on in the Faith Driven Entrepreneur podcast, we interviewed Phil Vischer, the creator of VeggieTales, who talked mm-hmm. about the mm-hmm. fact that when he felt stressed, he realized he's trying to do things under his own power. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months later, we were interviewing Casey Crawford. Casey runs a company called Movement Mortgage. And we're just talking about that. We're talking about this, the beauty of, and it's minute 16 to minute 20, I think, of the Phil Vischer podcast, which we did, I don't know, 7 years ago, a long time ago. Just a beautiful encapsulation of the relationship between anxiety and the gospel and God's providence. And Casey was wrestling with that, and we were wrestling with that with him. He's like, you know what? I think I get that. But, you know, I also see Jesus like sweating blood in the garden mm-hmm. before his passion. And you know, you see David like crying tears in his bed. And you know, there's some mm-hmm. level of stress and pressure before him going off into battle. And the question, though, is what's the source of the anxiety? Anxiety is we're afraid of something. What are we afraid of? If we're afraid of not hitting that sales goal because our identity is wrapped up too much in that sales goal. Now, to be clear, sales goals are great. Sales goals are mm-hmm. important, right? But it's the question is, what am I afraid of? And but we need to understand that we're in a battle, man. We're in a fallen, broken world. And we're called into a battle. It's not flesh and blood. It's of just bad stuff out there. And it's okay for us to feel some level of heightened awareness and anxiety as we go off into do battle. And yet that anxiety gives us this opportunity to say, is this a holy anxiety? Am I doing this because I'm going off into a real battle? But do I feel that God's got my back? And then you start thinking about what kind of anxiety did David feel before going off to Goliath? Then what kind of anxiety do you feel later on? But the question is that holy or not? It's that, you know, it's difficult to be a faithful entrepreneur or a faithful agent, right? Because you're balancing these things. If we don't have a faith, it's just like it's ambition. We're going to conquer the world. We're going to make a ton of money. We're going to hire a million people, and we're going to dominate, right? And we're doing all this stuff for domination. And if I'm feeling anxiety, it's because I'm not dominating. Well, there is that additional element that we need to acknowledge as Christ followers, that it's hard to reconcile, right? It's what, where is our ambition? Is it healthy? Is it not? But the best part about it is wrestling with it through podcasts like Your Faithful Agent. So great first step. Yeah. I'm so glad your audience is listening.
Yeah, well, for sure. You know, we asked it because I want to ask you this question. So my co-host, as our audience knows, Tyler Wilson, was a professional baseball player for 10 years, played for the Baltimore Orioles, and, you know, made it to the peak of where you could go in any kind of career, right? One of the best players in the world. And so I was talking to him about that idea. Is one of the things I've wrestled with, which you alluded to, but I'm just going to ask you straight up because I'd love your thoughts, is the question of how do we be content? Like you said, how do we be content? Which the world, the business world would say, oh, don't be content. Always ambition, like you said. How do we be content in the way that the Lord calls us to? As we see all throughout scripture, right? We see that in 1 Timothy 6, the call to contentment. How do we be content, but yet still be ambitious at the same time? Because the Lord created us in that fashion to go out and build and create and be conquerors. How do we do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think that part of the answer is first acknowledging that it's a great question. That's a tough one. And it's not like that there's a pat answer and like, oh my goodness, I get it. Yeah, of course I need to do this. I think the first part of leaving some of that anxiety, unhealthy anxiety behind and walking into that contentment is realizing that there's a real battle. I mean, it's the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. The pulls of mammon. It's just all sorts of different things that are messed up outside of us and inside of us. And so first thing is acknowledge it. It's difficult. And then just reflecting on the fact that, you know what? I know how the story ends. It's going to end great. And I've been given the gift of life now and forever. It's unmerited favor. Everything in scripture just breathes God's love letter to me. And I'm going to believe it. The only work that we can do to please God is to believe. And in order to do that, we have to meditate on, gosh, do I really believe this? And to what degree is the gospel sunk into my life? And so that I'm in a spot now where I'm reacting out of joy and gratitude. I'm like, this is amazing. I've been given the gift of life now and just an amazing, incredible opportunities all around me. And yet I also have something infinitely better that's waiting for me for eternity. And I'm going to choose to believe that. And I'm going to reinforce that belief by spending time in His Word, by praying to God, by being in Christian community and fellowship. And I'm going to live into that reality for me. And it's going to give me a sense of joy and gratitude that will fuel my work as a celebration of the fact that this is fucking amazing news. This is changes everything. And I no longer have to work in a way that I'm trying to build my identity, because my identity, I already know what my identity is. And the only person I'm trying to please is already infinitely pleased with me. And already when they look down at me, they don't see the person I am, but they see Jesus. And that's unfreaking believable. And so now my approach to life is now completely different. On my good days, I get that. On our good days as faithful agents or faith-driven entrepreneurs, we get that. And that gives us this nuclear source of energy to do well. Okay. Mm-hmm. So before I talked about this, you know, gosh, you know, I shouldn't speak to Elon Musk's faith or not faith, but let's just throw him under the bus just for this purpose. Sure. Okay. We'll just say, he's got this naked ambition, just domination, and he's going to go ahead and do all these different types of things. Or just say, maybe not Elon's not the right example, but there's a right example out there. Okay. There's no dissonance in their life. They're just completely fired up. A Christ follower has that disadvantage, if you will, of trying to reconcile godly ambition versus personal ambition and trying to figure out, how do I make it all work? Can I have a job that's successful? Can I want a success in the business? And, you know, a lot of high-powered secular entrepreneurs aren't having that struggle at all. And if we're not careful, a faithful agent can have this dissonance mess them up to such an extent that it impacts their ability to lead. It impacts their ability to be able to be fruitful in the job and might put them at a disadvantage to their secular counterpart. However, for the faithful agent that's like, oh my goodness, I get the gospel and I realize this incredible news and it's amazing. That news, that identity, that joy trounces whatever the secular world will tell you. Now, the secular world will tell you that's all a bunch of bunk. But when the Holy Spirit is inside of us and we're to interact with God's word and we're praying and we're in relationship with God and we have it, now we have the nuclear source of energy. So instead of being at a disadvantage to our secular counterpart, that's kind of got this naked ambition, everybody looks at it, some amount of that is attractive and they're able to succeed. We're able to go through that to something much better. So instead of being at a disadvantage to the secular counterpart. Now we've gone through that, and now we're has something much greater because we've got the nuclear source of energy, which is joy and gratitude for that new identity and that gift. And to the extent we get it is the extent that people are like, I want what he has or she has. They want to be with us. They want to work with us. They want to enter into a really trusted relationship around a transaction, like in real estate and buying a home. They're like, that person has a joy in them that I want. And so but I'm telling you, in my experience, it's only a minority of faithful agents or entrepreneurs that kind of get that. But when we get it, it's a sight to behold.
Hey everyone, we love the Faithful Agent community and we want to continue to give away and pour into you as much as we can, totally for free. One of the ways you financially support the work that we're doing is when you have a buyer or seller referral headed to Hampton Roads or Richmond, Virginia, send them to my team. Not only will you get great experience for your clients, you'll also be helping the mission of the Faithful Agent at the same time. Just go to faithfulagent.com/referral or text me 757-266-2876. Now, on to the show.
There's so much to that that speaks to me too. As someone, my audience knows, Henry, that most of these shows are just me confessing because I get convicted by what people say, right? And the recognition of how often they've heard me talk about, I'm writing this book, it's called The Common Agent Scoreboard. It's about the reality that as agents and as business people, but as agents in general, I woke up one day and recognized, why am I doing all these things that I'm doing? Come up to my office, and it's a shortened version of the story, right? But come up to my office on my whiteboard, I'm only measuring what the world told me to measure, which is how many deals had we done, how much money had we made, and how many agents did I have, right? And I recognize in the moment, as I teach and as I work through the book, I'm not saying those things are bad measurements, right? We got to have measurements for our business. Yeah. What I am saying is I was always the guy that said, well, it's my family and it's the time with them that's most important. But the only thing I was ever measuring and deciding whether I was, quote, succeeding or not was based on what the industry told me and based on what I saw all my friends, believe it or not, what they were doing, and I wanted to measure up to them. It was in that moment where the Lord just gave me the clarity and almost the releasing of striving for what the world strives after, which I still absolutely do all the time, to say, hey, why don't you come to me and say, Lord, what do you want my scoreboard to be? And now it's totally changed. Yes, there's still a financial scoreboard, but there's also, I'm looking at it right there. Now there's a scoreboard for me to take every seventh week off. Right? The third measurement for me is obedience over outcome. And so now it is that chance to say, the world and the devil is going to say, no, you should pursue and you should be like everyone else. And the way the Lord created the world and the economy, yeah, if you just have straight ambition, you can probably figure it out eventually and take over the world if you want to. But exactly what you said, Henry, which I loved how you said it, as believers, we already have the greatest gift that we've ever been given. We've already achieved and received, not achieved, we've already received the prize in Christ, right? Like there is nothing left that we need in order to be fulfilled, in order to have run the race and end with the prize. Christ already accomplished it for us at the cross and in his life and in his resurrection. And so we are freed up to say, as I've been working on my own heart, Henry, and our audience knows, I've been struggling through this. I try now to start each day, instead of thinking about what outcome do I need to have, showing up and asking the Lord for the first 15 minutes of my workday, Lord, what does obedience look like today? And as someone who is trying to walk out faithfully and knowing the Lord's going to judge me based on my faithfulness in my business, not the outcome of my business. I can't be lazy. We got to try to be excellent, right? Faithfulness for me in the past few weeks as my family's been sick has looked like, all right, Garrett, you're not doing work today. Your wife needs to rest. You're going to take care of the kids. And that's faithfulness. And that's what the Lord has called me to that particular day. And it's difficult for us. I love that you were just so honest about the reality of even labeling it a disadvantage, right? It isn't. I hear what you're saying. It can feel like a disadvantage when it's, well, the Lord doesn't desire me to do X, Y, and Z. I need to calm and quiet my own soul and just relax a little bit, not pursue everything the world's telling me to pursue while your friends are getting quote unquote ahead of you. It can feel like a disadvantage, but we stop and we look and we say, we answer to the God who created the whole world. Who am I to say, I know exactly what I'm going to accomplish this year. I can't even keep myself alive, right? The Lord is the one keeping my heart beating right now. as we work through this. Go ahead, brother, please.
No, that's it. No, keep going.
Jump in. I didn't have anything to jump in on.
No, this is awesome. I'm learning. I'm listening to you. It's incredible. Well, I'll tell you, I have a question for you. I was going to ask you, which is, I can understand if you're a writer taking like every seventh week off, or an artist, or maybe even like a chef, but how do you take every seventh week off as a real estate agent?
Sure. Well, so I'm fortunate that I set it up. So it was because of this idea of the scoreboard that was about a year and a half ago, Henry, made my team smaller on purpose, got one amazing real estate agent on my team, one amazing admin staff, and basically gave them the reins. And so really so much for me, as I've learned, I am an extremely prideful person and still am, unfortunately, and the Lord has continued to work on me there. But when I finally realized, hey, I don't need, when it was all about me and I needed to be the guy, I was never going to be able to step away. When I finally realized, hey, this is not about me. I don't care that my name's not on everything. I don't care that I'm not the guy who's winning all the awards and whatever. I don't care. If I want an A-plus player, I got to give an A-plus opportunity. So I give this opportunity to this agent, say, bro, I'm here to support you. That's the job. But I want you to take this because I want to step away, spend more time with my family and do other things. And honestly, the Lord's just been gracious in that. So much of my own story too, Henry. I read a book called Redeeming Money by Paul David Tripp. If you're familiar with that, if not, go read it. Knocked my socks off and convicted me like crazy. But so much of my life, again, though I would have said, oh, it's about my family, it's not about money, it's not about this, I had bought into the identity that in my church, I'm the business guy. I'm the guy that makes a lot of money. I'm the guy that can do all these things. And I just felt like I got to keep showing up that way. And it wasn't for a whole year, all of last year almost, Henry, it wasn't stopping to say, Lord, is this what you desire of me? All I was asking was, does this make more money and do I have the capability of doing it? So I would just do anything and everything. And it was finally this realization of, that's not the life the Lord has called me into, right? Certainly not the season of life that he's called me into. It was the reminder from friends and other people and through the word of, like we talked about pre-show, my main ambition should be, how do I be an excellent husband? How do I be an excellent follower of Christ? How do I be an excellent husband? Wash my wife with the word. How do I then lead and love my children so that they love Christ the way that I love Christ? And I need to start with those three things and everything else can fall into place afterwards. So it just, I'm in no way perfect at it, right? As you and I both keep confessing, but it has been that process of the Lord sanctifying me through that. Releasing control, knowing, you know, the Lord is the one that's going to give growth regardless. And so I'm trying to be obedient in whatever it is he has for me. And for me, that just means showing up every seventh week. My family knows this is our rhythm of rest together. And it's been phenomenal. I mean, it really has. And the Lord has been really gracious in that.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Thanks for asking me a question on my own show. Now I got to ask you a question and figure get it back to you. But again, one of the hearts that we have, and one of the things you're speaking so well to, and it's such an encouragement, is the reality of the difficulties of being a Christian in business, right? It's already hard being a business owner. There's not that many of us. Then on top of that, trying to act and live the way the Lord would require of us. So when you speak, and I want to end with this, because I think you'll take us out really well. When you're speaking to faith-driven entrepreneurs, whether real estate agents or not, and they're coming in and they're struggling with the challenges of the world, the pressures on them, all the things that come with being a business owner, you know, all those things. What is your encouragement to them? If you had one thing to say to a group of people, you had 2 minutes to say it, 3 minutes to say it, and you said, I need to encourage them right where they are, what would you say in this season of life that we're in?
Well, I can't just do one thing, but I can do the 2 to 3 minute thing. So I'd say it's the degree that you internalize the gospel and how much God loves you is the degree that you're going to find a sense of contentment and joy and purpose in your work. And dare I say, success in every measure, success in terms of how God looks at it. And then I think that those types of businesses succeed not at the expense of biblical values, but because of them.
Amen.
The admonition that I'd give people to continue and further the theme that you started this off with about being endeavoring to be faithful versus willful is to tell the audience, to tell this group right now, to not make the mistakes that the good kings of Judah made in 2 Chronicles. So of course, you're not supposed to do the things that the bad kings of Judah did, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The Faithful Agent podcast, of course. I mean, yeah. Right? Don't make the mistakes that the good kings, and I think all but Josiah, made a massive mistake, and they're all the same mistake. It's unbelievable. You know, it's like kind of A&E biography. You go back through Second Chronicles. It's just, these are the kings of Judah. And the mistakes that the good kings of Judah made were not seeking God out before making a major decision. And for a lot of them, of course, is whether to go off to war or not. For one of them was whether to do a trade deal with Cush, Egypt, right? And ask. So I imagine myself, these are the good kings of Judah. Scripture says they're good kings. And they're faithful. They're going to temple and they're praying to God. And, you know, a key advisor comes in and is like, should we do this or should we go off to war? And the good king is making a decision that he thinks makes sense, right? And a lot of people say, well, God gave you that sense. But I think that God wants to be more involved in our decisions than that. Mm. And, you know, think about Nehemiah. Nehemiah prayed. Artaxerxes sees him all stressed out. It's like, your home country, your hometown is in shambles. What do you want me to do? It says that Nehemiah prayed right then in the moment. But at key junctures, these good kings of Judah didn't. And every single one of them, except I think it's Josiah, you go through it and just like, so what is scripture trying to tell me here? God did give us common sense. These are all people made decisions. Many of them were not based out of personal ambition. They were what was right for the people they thought, the people that they're leading. And yet they didn't invite God into the decision. And God wants to be involved. And I think God wants to be involved in the big decisions and the middle decisions and even the small ones. Always be in prayer. I mean, we see this over and over again, but as entrepreneurs, man, we're doing it on our own power. We're busy. We got tons of things to do. We don't have time to be in God's word every day. Or for those of us who are, and that's one discipline that through the grace of God I've been able to do, I'm not praying to God as often as I should. I mean, if I'm honest with you over the course of last week and I look back at the decisions I've made, at least the medium ones and definitely the small ones, I haven't asked God, just taken a second and just said, Lord, just guide me in the right way right now. Mm. And so that would be the thing I'd leave the group with.
That's good, man. Mm. I also love a podcast that talks about Second Chronicles. It's fantastic. Yeah. I love bringing the Old Testament in, my brother. So
well, man, come back Henry, with version 2 when we're going to go through Numbers and Lamentations.
Yes, that's right. That's fantastic. That'll be a huge winner with the audience. That's definitely true. I, as it has been with my children as we disciple them. Brother, man, I appreciate just your heart. So much wisdom, brother. We could do this forever. If they want to learn more about what you guys are doing, I know you have Faith-Driven Investor as well. So what's the best way for them to learn or connect with you guys and what's going on?
Two ministries, faithdrivenentrepreneur.org and faithdriveninvestor.org. And in each case, we have these groups that are content and community, mini documentaries for 10 minutes, then teaching from people like Nikki Gumbel and Tim Keller and JD Greer that they did live for us on these topics, and then 40 minutes of facilitated conversation. And there's likely, I know that there are groups in the Tidewater region of Virginia, and there are groups through the grace of God now in 135 plus countries around the world.
Wow, praise God. That's incredible. And it is such an encouragement. Agents, it is encouraging me. I know it encourages Tyler. I hope it encourages you. Henry, in his own strength, would have not gotten Faith-Driven Entrepreneur to where he is, right? This is a constant reminder to come back to recognize the gospel and who it is that we serve. This is the Lord's ministry. It is not Henry's. The Faithful Agent is not mine. It is not yours. This is about the Lord and what he desires to do for us, in us, and through us. So praise God for your faithfulness, Henry. I pray that we will be just as faithful as we try to grow this ministry and serve people in real estate. So brother, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Faithful Agents, we hope to see you at our conference in April. Go check it out, faithfulagent.com/conference. We'll see you next week on the show.
Hey, Faithful Agents, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope it encouraged you to both grow your business and your faith. And as always, make sure you share this episode with a friend who you think would be encouraged by it. And join us on our Facebook group, if you aren't there yet, to come together with the other Faithful Agents around the country. Just go to Facebook.com and search The Faithful Agent. And if you want to be encouraged more locally, because after all, local groups is where the real growth and change happens, go to Faithful faithfulagent.com/local groups to check out what we've got going on. And if there isn't a group near you, you can reach out to us right there and tell us you're interested in starting your own. Thank you as always for tuning into this episode. We hope to see you next week.